Okay, so okay, we're gonna back up to some conversation that was happening when you were not on the call. But so Putin is making a speech at the moment right now. One of the things he says is that like BRICS accounts for like 50% of GDP growth over the last 10 years, whereas the G7 only account for like 17%. And I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that speech kind of reminds me of when Enver Hoxha said that Albania and China were like... I was about to say
the exact same thing.
Yeah. I don't know if that GDP growth was like really, you know, Russia. I think there was one member. There's one letter in BRICS that's maybe doing most of the heavy lifting here. South Africa.
South Africa, yeah, exactly. Yeah, South Africa. The second Iran.
I love that, like, everyone knows why South Africa's here is because they're just, like, making this union. It's like, fuck, we forgot Africa. Shit. Anyway. And then I got to the question that was, like, has any rapper done some sort of line? I leave it to the rapping people to figure out what the line would be.
I believe they're called rappers, Kieran, but okay, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know. I went for the gender neutral rapping people.
Rappers is also gender neutral.
No, it's rapper and rapera and
rapperin.
Yeah. And happy Pride, everyone. And anyway, I was wondering if any rapper has made like a BRICS economic union. BRICS. A unit of cocaine conflation lyric. Like,
well, I'm going to go on genius.com right now and see what happens when I type in on the search bar
BRICS or something, like without the K, surely that should do it.
The first thing that comes up is a German song that says alles brennt die NATO gegen die BRICS-Staaten. Okay, whatever. That don't care. That's the actual.
Oh no.
Oh no. There's just a bunch of misspellings of the word BRICS.
Mm-mm.
There is also then the very fourth thing that comes up is a quote. It is the hit song Press Conference on the Situation in Ukraine by Vladimir Putin.
What the fuck is that doing on
Why
Genius?
Why is that on Genius?
I am so glad I did this.
Whole episode derailed. Open that link.
Everything else is in Dutch.
Okay, yeah, because it's probably like a Dutch word. Like the Dutch word for brick is just brick without the K or something.
Exactly. Oh
like,
my god, yeah. Seventh most popular entry. Statement on the Russian Chinese talks. May 2015 or 14. Artist Vladimir Putin.
Who is putting Putin as an artist?
I think that Genius just scrapes the internet for like things, you know, just like I think
no,
it, like
no, because there would be weirder stuff on there, would be like more weird stuff on there. I feel like
interview with President Obama 2014, and in fact you can see countries like China creating a BRICS bank. That's the line.
What the
he hit fuck? Us with
that. Or there is a now buried, there was like an attempt by Genius to take the technology they have of like highlighting text and putting in annotations to then, what if we made like a side product that was that technology, but for political speeches? And we'll like,
there's now, you know, there's we'll, just, there are actual like references to it in rap songs, but I, again, it just gives me the line. I don't know any of the other context. There's a song called JFK, Just Fucking Kidding by Lil Panic. The album art of it is JFK sitting on the president's car, like he's, you know, a rapper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just the line is, in Swiss banks, they be clean, they be crispy. The bricks on the rise, build your walls, won't protect, and then stops. I do not know what it rhymes with. I don't know where this is going. This sounds like it's an anti-brick song.
Is that not just a misspelling of like?
No.
No, he's BRICS rising. It's like, it's
okay.
I guess she it's like a pun. Wait, no, wait.
This might be a fake song because I then clicked on the song. The very first thing, she F on my John till I blow like I'm Kennedy. Great line.
That just sounds like something you would put on your story, Nick.
It sounds like what we would name an episode.
Yeah. Also.
Here, wait. Brick has four. Genius. Brick has four meanings. It. Yeah. Lil Panic means, in fact, the BRICS countries. Yeah. There. That's it. Got. I found one that is not a speech from Vladimir Putin.
Nick, I need you again.
What the fuck?
Is this kind of like how there's like a page for Mao Zedong on the Hey Arthur Wikipedia?
You mean Hey Arnold? Or no, sorry, hey Arthur the no. Arthur yeah. the Hey Arthur.
Yes.
Arthur.
I was conflating Hey Arnold and Arthur. Yes.
Yeah.
On the Arthur Wikipedia.
On the Arthur Wikipedia. There's a picture. Yes. I'm gonna leave us there. I'm gonna leave that because I'm gonna not go down any deeper with possible lines about, but no connection to cocaine and bricks.
It's ripe for digging.
I'm sorry. Since this is the main episode and we don't really have a concrete topic, right?
Like we have a couple of topics.
All right. Yeah. I have one observation that I want to bring to the class as part of the like whatever this is, the cold open. I'm sorry, Uma, for what I'm going to say, because I know that you're going to be like, Nick, why'd you bring this up? Kieran, I'm sorry for bringing this up because I'm convinced, now hear me out. This is my, you know, we live in a society. It's ever for always changing. And I've been rewatching The Sopranos for like the sixth time. All right. Season one is hilarious. Like, it is very funny to anyone who's never seen the show. There are episodes that like just don't make sense. But one subplot that is very funny to me of one of them is that then like Tony's Uncle Junior, like gets shit for eating pussy. Did 9/11 make eating pussy cool?
Why? What? How did you even come up with that connection?
Because this is like a very much like a pre-2000s idea that eating pussy is like bad. And like not manly. I don't know. There has
young.
To be.
You're too young. They're too, like, you're, exactly. 9/11 really did
9/11
change everything. 9/11
changed everything to the point of that. Then it's like, this is not a discussion today. There's like bits and pieces of this episode that are very like, you know, very pre-2000s to the point that there's an entire subplot of Junior Soprano eating pussy. And that's like bad, you know, brackets not manly. What changed this? I'm going to say 9/11. I'm going to say 9/11 is the thing that made eating pussy fine.
They're just Italian.
No, they're just Italian? That's the problem?
There was a time when, like, it was considered, like, we wouldn't necessarily use the word, but again, happy pride. It was considered gay.
It was considered gay to eat pussy, exactly.
Apparently. Like I know it sounds stupid now, but it made sense.
What?
Yeah. Yes,
is it gay to enjoy the one thing that doesn't make you gay?
Exactly, it is.
Literally,
it's
yeah. Is it, fellas, is it gay?
Fellas, is it gay to eat pussy? Pre-9/11 world, yes. It's very gay, in fact.
But you're too young, but this really was the world we lived in.
I'm like, all right. What? 6 years old? Like, what are you talking about?
This is why I said I'm sorry, Uma.
We are sorry, everyone. Yeah, everyone, stop what you're doing and apologize to Uma. Just say,
I did. I don't need to apologize to her again. I already apologized once. I knew that then I was going to get like a what reaction, and I got the exact reaction that I thought. Yes,
oh,
Uma.
It's almost
in the
like
world,
we're friends.
It's almost like we're friends, right? Crazy.
I think that does summarize how bad like male insecurity is, though. Like the kind of like masculinity insecurity,
and how good 9/11 was.
Also, hey, welcome to your weekly Corner Shmady. It's the main episode for some ill-advised reason, based on everything we've been saying so far. I'm joined by Uma.
Hello.
And Nick.
Hi.
Yeah. Nick's going to sit down and listen for a while.
Yeah, no, I just was thinking of, there's a one, I forget if it's like a, if it's a Jadakiss line, speaking of 9/11, where he just like, is like, it's a song that happened that then the line is like, shout out to Muhammad Atta for like, you know, hitting the Twin Towers or something. Song came out in like 2001, like 2002.
Like, it was too, he had like 3 months to get that song out.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
It was,
well, you know,
like,
speaking of, couldn't find a reference between bricks and bricks of cocaine, but he does. I don't know if it's either, I don't remember if it's Jadakiss or Cameron or one of these rappers. It's a Dipset rapper who then makes the comparison of him selling drugs to Muhammad Atta flying a plane into the Twin Towers, which that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I guess this is why I could never be a rapping person, is because I'm doubling down on that term. Because, like, I think I go for the obvious connections, like bricks, Union of Nations, bricks of cocaine. I can't do these lateral moves of selling drugs is like being one of the hijackers.
Yeah, it's something as like, you know, shout out to Muhammad Atta who kept that stick on the plane or whatever, the way that I'm keeping the stick on this, whatever, you know, like he makes it, the line is absurd, and it came out like literally like a few months after 9/11.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for lived experience. Yeah. All right. Hey.
Sorry.
European politics.
Yeah. Well, 9/11 never happened.
No. Very true. All right. So what do we got today? What do we got some topics? I think a first thing I want to kind of talk about is, because we're already kind of mentioned the United States, we have to loop this in. A podcast interview has resulted in riots in Albania. Because
thank you, Eddie Rama, for coming on the show
to explain yourself. That man is spiraling. We'll get to that. Ivanka Trump was on an interview. Was on like a video podcast. All podcasts are videos now, except for this one. Basically.
Yeah. You know what we should do is that we should like do like court illustrations of our show.
Like give it to someone, just like draw what you think is happening.
Yeah.
So she's on this podcast. She talks about finding this beautiful Mediterranean island while sailing once, and then like, yeah, with her husband
Columbus. Like, just
you're an, I'm never gonna get through this episode. I'm never like, I can't. Everything that you're saying is too funny to me.
It's too it's dumb. Welcome to the dumb world. We live in dumb world now. So Ivanka's talking about sailing the Mediterranean with her husband Jared Kushner, and they find a Mediterranean island that they just think is beautiful. They stop on it for a bit. And the entire interview, they're just talking about, like, we're getting these world-class architects in, we're developing the island. The interview is very strange because it makes it sound like they're turning the island, they're building like a holiday home on the island for themselves. And like, that's not what's happening. They're building a resort on the island. They're planning to build a resort on the island. And she doesn't mention where this island is. It's technically not even in the Mediterranean. Actually, it's in the Adriatic. This island is called, let me get the name of it, Sazan. And fun fact, it's Albania's only island. They got shafted. Croatia took all the islands and they got one. This whole thing has caused, it's caused a bunch of protests that basically seem to be a straw that broke the camel's back kind of protest. There's a lot of people just generally out there being like, okay, fuck Eddie Rama. This is too much. The like deeply corrupt American administration just like taking our only island and turning it into what I think a lot of Albanians have correctly identified is something that's going to be not for them. Like, it's going to be in Albania. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be like a 5-star resort that's going to be insanely expensive and clearly catered for like Kushner's friends and Trump's friends.
Yeah. Even
well,
if it's
not
just
the friends, like rich people in general.
Yeah. I mean, like, even if it wasn't super exclusive, it's still just going to be like American middle class prices, which already just prices out most Albanians.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the plans are, but like, yeah, the island is technically privately held. They've bought like hectare by hectare of the island over time, but it's currently being used by Albanians as just like a nice little holiday. It's apparently regularly visited. I saw some photos of it. Everyone's out on their cheap little beach holiday, like local beach holiday kind of thing. And for the entirety of Hoxha's, like, for like communist Albania, it was like a military outpost filled with bunkers.
I was about to ask how many bunkers are on the island.
Tons. Genuinely, I think the highest concentration of anywhere in the country. Because it was like an outpost thing, possibly like, you know, the last shelter. Because like that was what he was deathly afraid of, nuclear apocalypse, right? That was his whole thing. That's why all the bunkers were built, right? It's a panic about Cold War nuclear escalation, right?
Yeah, and it was the fact too that Albania had they weren't really part of any bloc of any sort. Like
they were in the Warsaw Pact.
They were in the Warsaw Pact into like the mid-70s, and then they left.
Yeah.
And they were hyper paranoid of just like at any point being invaded by anyone. And the bunkers weren't going to save you from nuclear Armageddon. They're not deep.
No, they don't look great. They're already falling apart after like 10 years of not being maintained. Anyway, that's the situation resulting in these huge riots that supposedly has just like kind of broad appeal according to people assessing the riots. Like, it's a lot of like students, regular people, old people. They've roped in everyone else who's just kind of like generally pissed off, like all those like chromium miners. That's the big thing in Albania, is chrome. They're all pissed off because they're all treated like dirt. Environmentalists are pissed off because flamingos are native to this land. One of the
flamingos are Albanian. Wow,
I don't know where flamingos are from, to be honest, because it's like one of these things
they're
where
they're not,
like,
real.
Yeah,
if you want to like convince me that birds are fake, flamingos are the first one to start with. That's a fake ass. Pink sits on one leg, really tall, has a long neck. Fake, not real.
Yeah, because it's just like I think I was told for the longest time of just like, oh, they're from South America. And like, yeah, okay, I've seen, you know,
that's right,
a bunch of
Albania is also Latino.
Yeah, apparently. You did it, Dua Lipa. Welcome to the global Latino belt.
K-Lo K-Poppy. I mean that to you, all of Albania.
All of Albania, to all the protesters. Yeah, so they've got a bunch of like those like inflatable pool toy flamingos as their like protest symbols as well while they're out there. And I think what I'm possibly enjoying the most is Edi Rama spiraling. He's not handling this well. And I'm going to just grab some of the fun things he's been saying in response to this. Because what's happening at the same time right now is there's currently a summit in Montenegro about like Western Balkan expansion of the EU. So like all the EU leaders, all the kind of like Balkans leaders that aren't in the EU are all kind of in the same place right now, which also gave us the Edi Rama line of like, basically he said, like, you know what they say, there are three things in this world that are unpredictable: God, sex, and the EU. Which is like what they say, Edi.
I do love that, because I mentioned this briefly in the chat, of my favorite thing of the future of Edi Rama is that then he will be like prosecuted for something in the near future and then just be like sentenced to like 15 years prison. Like,
yeah.
if there is one country where corruption lawsuits, like, or where corruption suits go quite far, is a country that is trying to join the European Union. And I remember in the sense of when I worked for like a European Union publisher thing of having to then look up Albanian clients was always very funny because half of them would end up in jail for corruption suits. And it was the only country, them and like maybe Romania, where like they would actually be like, oh, there's a problem here. We're severely corrupt. We need to like clean up our act. We want to join the European Union or Schengen or the Eurozone or whatever it may be. We need to arrest people. Eddie Rama will end up in jail within like a 5-year period. I can promise. There's so much shit that he has his hands in that it's almost inevitable at this point.
Okay, let me see this first speech here. Like, I agree. Like, he definitely has the... Well, actually, let's let the quotes kind of speak for themselves, because this definitely feels like the quotes of a increasingly cornered man.
Yeah.
Okay, so Albania's PM Edi Rama mocking critics amid growing protests over the Kushner resort deal. Quote, maybe you haven't heard yet that I eat children. The news hasn't reached you yet, but I want to tell you this too. End quote. Yeah. Uma, you look puzzled.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to be like, oh, look at these people are talking, like they're saying all these things about me that I'm like, huh? Who's helping? Like, that's not helping you at all. You're just sounding cuckoo. Like, it's not.
Yep. It doesn't work.
So stupid. What a stupid strategy.
I think he doubles down on that.
So, like, I just imagine him like stomping his feet while he's saying that, like, kind of like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, he is gesticulating quite a bit, and it is hard not to imagine him stomping around because he is very big. Which is, I think, what we posited earlier is why a lot of like world leaders like him is that he's very big.
And he's just tall.
He's just a tall guy. We love a tall guy.
All this got me thinking of was the Lindsay Lohan song Rumors, if anyone remembers that one.
Get off genius.com.
I'm not on genius.com. That was my brain.
Oh, yeah. The real genius.
The real genius. Exactly. Thank you, Kieran. Does no one remember that song?
No, I don't know the Lindsay Lohan
God.
Song Rumors.
Lindsay Lohan tried to have like a pop star career, obviously. And
that
one of her
doesn't
first...
surprise me.
No,
but
of course
I never
not.
Heard it.
And one of her first singles was Rumors. Mm-hmm.
What's it about? Like, why does it remind you
I'm sick of being followed. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Everyone's talking about me. Everyone's accusing me of eating children.
that too, you know?
Those are the lyrics, yes.
Yeah. I just intuited the lyrics. Let's see. This is at the Western Balkan summit that's happening today. Albania's PM Edi Rama on protest over the Kushner resort deal. Quote, this is being presented through a hybrid war against Albania. False narratives, like the project is something cooked between me and Netanyahu through Jared Kushner to bring Palestinians in.
We should have never taught Edi Rama the word hybrid warfare.
Yeah.
This means nothing.
He is digging his own grave. Like, that's just, he sounds mad. Like, mad as in insane, not as
yeah.
Insane.
Watch, this not week, here. Albania is going to get a second AI minister to just fucking derail from this.
We're handing the responsibility of the resort development.
The resort over to AI, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, hybrid warfare is definitely a term that I feel like European politicians are just like taking now to mean I don't like that the media is angry with me.
Yeah. I'm sick of rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah, hybrid warfare is the European equivalent of like, you know, don't listen to the haters.
Because brackets, they're Russian. It's basically what it is, right?
Yeah, all my haters write in Cyrillic.
Yeah, so that's just kind of what's happening with that, but like, yeah, good on the Albanians for like protesting this clearly corrupt nonsense deal. The Financial Times was also quick to point out like this is also how another Trump project got completely scuppered, because originally they were going to do like a Trump Hotel Belgrade in Serbia, and the like student protest that's been happening there also kind of like no to that as well. So they had to they roll back on that. Yeah. So this Trump idea of thinking they can have like the Western Balkans as if they were the Gulf states is not really panning out.
Yeah, this is like the thing that I'm constantly reminded of is like a big part of the Trump administration, though, is the expansion of his hotel regime or whatever you want to call it. Like it is the amount of Trump hotels that have at least been attempted to be opened within the last, what now, 8 years, you know, what, 10 years is a bit of like there's the one that then they're trying to do in D.C., all right, there's the, you know, the domestic ones.
Maybe one in Riyadh as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's ones that then are in like the Arab Peninsula. And then, yeah, the ones within Europe. And, of course, the most famous one of being, you know, the one that they wanted to put in Gaza. And it is, like, a massive part of his, like, geopolitics. Is I want to put a hotel here.
Yeah, it's the... What is it? Because I feel like it's kind of like chicken and the egg at this point. Like, it is, this whole story is kind of a reminder of just like the obvious graft and corruption that is happening in the administration, which doesn't get.
Yeah, yeah.
Upon.
I mean, it's the sense of it's like the U.S. has always done this shit, but it's been a little bit more like, you know, hush hush. Oh, this is just how American geopolitics functions. The corporations that behind it are just like faceless American things, like, you know, Halliburton with Dick Cheney, for example, being kind of one of like the biggest ones of, you know, the profiteers of the Iraq War. But it's never been like the company that is named like that I created that has my name and I'm the president. You know, like that's like a tad too on the nose. Everything's too stupid right now.
And even then, it was like, even for a lot of American stuff, it was like at least one step removed. It wasn't like the president, it was the president's friend, like
Dick Cheney.
Like yeah, like even when Dick Cheney's even like the most direct, and people got pissed off at that at the time too. But like it would have been like people who gave huge donations. It was the whole point of giving huge donations to presidential campaigns.
Like, of course, yeah, because it's like this is all going to go into procurement. You're going to win the you're going to win, and then you're going to get to then do the thing that you want to do and make a lot of money. I mean, like even internally, it happens in the U.S. in this way of like hurricane relief is done this way. You know, this has been something that then has been brought up heavily of like, oh, why of like. I remember, what is it, in Texas or whatever, one of the companies that then won the hurricane relief packages was just like a friend of the governor, and then they just made these like dopey little packages for people that were just clearly money laundering.
Greatest
system in the world, baby. No alternative to this.
There's no alternative. So there's that aspect of it. I think the other thing that's kind of like distracting from this is the things that the Trump administration uses as a distraction from the graft and corruption they're doing are just so horrifying. Like, one thing that I keep reminded, like, I keep forgetting about, like, the kind of Trump flip-flopping of, like, we're so close to a peace deal, actually fuck Iran, is that it all happens when the markets close. Like, the we're so close to the peace deal always happens, like, the Monday. And then the, like, fuck around happens on a Friday. Or whenever the market closes, you know, like, Memorial Day, maybe, like, delays it by a day or whatever. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, it's dumb. I'm glad that it's, like, I think also to go into the past of the American graft that was happening before is it worked. And a lot of these deals are just, like, falling through. And, like, I don't think this deal is going to like work. Like, even the estimates are like, yeah, if this resort was spun up, it would make like twice the current amount of money that Albania makes currently. And it's just like, I think even that, as tantalizing as it is for Rama and friends, I think Rama would much rather stay in power.
I mean, if he keeps losing it like this, I'm not sure he's gonna.
Yeah, like it might be a done.
I mean, like it's more or less for him at this point. He's going to do the typical. I mean, because this is the thing, right? Is that then he's still very useful to Europe. You know, he is like their perfect little stupid boy to then do all these like, but he's run out on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's how he's kind of operate. But I think he's only useful as much as he has like power in Albania.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I mean, there's the sense of like the legitimacy of his presidency has been up in the air for a very long time. Mm. It's in the sense of that then, I mean, you know, I'm not going to make like a Zelensky comparison because it's a bit different, but it is like you are only in your power until your point of view, like until you are like no longer useful, right? Like there is this, I mean, for a country like Albania that then Europe and the United States don't give two shits about. He's literally there just to do like reforms to then get them the things that they want. And then, you know, yeah, like I said, like I do see him within the next 5 years just getting put in jail, like into some form of some investigation. It's not hard to do with him, you know.
So I think it's a fundamental misunderstanding of where the power comes from. Of
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm liked. He's gotten a little high off the fact that like the European leaders liked him, but the European leaders only liked him because he could command Albanian society and politics.
Yeah, right. And it's not, he's not like an Erdogan.
He loses that. He loses exactly. The Europeans. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like an Erdogan case where it's like, oh, you're useful to Europe, but you're also a major player geopolitically, where then you can like consolidate your power into like a dictatorship. Like, you can't do that. It's Albania, you know, unless we rebuild all the bunkers. Eddie Rama, I know that you're out there listening to this.
One of the things we should talk about is the UN Security Council situation for Germany, because, again, another thing that the response is quite telling, because, Nick, you put into the group chat earlier today just this...
The foreign ministry posted.
The foreign ministry posted something that really looks like I've seen guys who were dumped who are trying to make it.
Yeah, they're like yeah, feelings. Yeah, yeah. They're like, you know, you can only get stronger, you know. The next girl that I find is gonna be even hotter.
Isn't it the Rocky speech as well?
Yes, it is.
It's so pathetic. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I think the funniest thing to me is that it's what you were saying. They're trying to be like, no, we're not. We're not hurt. We're fine. We're fine.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, the fucking foreign ministry of Portugal. Like, it's the pinned comment. They pinned it as well.
Oh, no.
And it was like, oh, we're always there for you. Or like something like that.
Yeah. Bless up, King. You got this.
It's so funny. It's like
your ex-wife's new husband
just being like, hey, we're here for you, dude. It's okay.
No, I think, Portugal's the one that got the seat, so it's like
your ex's new boyfriend
commented.
Like, that's literally what I just said.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, it's bad. Yeah.
It's really bad. It's embarrassing.
It's top
tier. They say exactly... We move forward together. And Germany can always count on Portugal. Well, they shouldn't, because Germany doesn't give a shit about Portugal. So
No. I'm here for the kind of like ritual humiliation of Germany, though, because I did read up on this because I was like kind of curious. We should kind of say like what has been circulating that, you know, provoked me into like reading, which is a lot of groups that are like active in like a pro-Palestinian space are saying this is because Israel, and it's like I'm suspicious initially of that narrative because it feels a little too like just, and I'm now suspicious of when justice is served. So it's like, because now I'm a broken person. So I did actually read, like, Al Jazeera did some decent reporting on, like, what's going on this. And, like, even the Quincy Institute of Responsible Statecraft or whatever are saying, like, it's because of Israel. Like, it's because of Germany's stance towards Israel.
I'm sorry, the what?
You do not know the Quincy Institute of Responsible Statecraft?
I mean, I know what it is from what you're telling me, but that's the most nerd-ass fucking name of a loser institution.
It's various, like, CIA desk job people. The ones that didn't get to kill someone.
I read the same reporting from Al Jazeera that you read, and it's fine, but like I really don't agree with what they interviewed someone about why they didn't win the vote, and this person is just really saying that it's because of the Israel thing, which I'm not saying is untrue, but like I think this is something that's just fundamentally not true.
Oh yeah.
The person of the Quincy Institute.
Oh, it's the Quincy.
The Mr. Good Boy from the Good Boy Institute. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But they just say like, let's be clear, Germany's support for Ukraine had nothing to do with it. Portugal and Austria, who beat Germany, are no less supportive of Ukraine. That's not true.
That's not true,
like,
though.
Portugal doesn't care about Ukraine. And I mean, obviously, all European countries like care, but Germany is psycho about Ukraine. Germany will rather give money to Ukraine than like to its own state. Like, it's not, you cannot compare.
I think that that was one of my first like initial knee jerk reactions too, is that then when I was seeing every, again, similar to Kieran, of like, whenever I see this then in the sense of like, it's because of Israel, I'm like, I don't know, doubt this, like probably could be, you know, but in the sense of, it's like, now with thinking about it, the only other states that then are as gung-ho, I will die for Israel, you know, I will sacrifice my own nation to Israel, are already on the Security Council. The United States, exactly. You know, the United States, France, and the UK. I mean, France being critical, but still, you know what I mean. Like, but I do think in the sense of that then, Portugal supports Ukraine in the sense of that then that they're part of the European Union and they support them, but they're not giving any, like, you know, like Germany is the second or third largest weapons provider to Ukraine.
Yeah.
I do think that then, although that we have like kind of forgotten that this is a thing that then is happening, there probably was a lot of backlash for that too, from countries that then are, you know, pro Russia. And that influences a lot more in the UN than say the Israel issue. You know what I mean? Like the Israel,
I actually disagree with that. Very strong.
I'm not saying that then Israel isn't an issue that then is on the table, but I do think in the, because even the foreign ministry comes out and says that then this has heavily to do as well with both, you know, that it has to do with Israel and Russia. And I think the sense of, it's like, remember, Russia also tried to veto Annalena Baerbock's appointment for the the presidential chair that just constantly cycles. And they do try to then rally a lot of countries against Germany for this reason.
Yeah. So interesting pieces of context information in the Al Jazeera piece that I didn't know before I read it was, one, Germany always applies for like rotating membership when it can. There's like, you serve 2-year terms. I think there's like a 6-year gap in between those 2-year terms where you're not allowed to like apply again, basically. And this is the only time that Germany hasn't gotten it, which is also why they're like posting the way they are. it's, I think, part of the reason that that's happening.
Yeah. Get out, leave right now. It's the end of you and me.
The thing about the bringing up the Ukraine and Russia thing, especially from the foreign ministry itself, I think a part of that is also damage control. Because I think if you're like, oh, it's solely because of Israel, that'll probably piss off more Germans, because we've seen the polling on the issue. Germans themselves are not supportive of Israel. There's a very vocal stats raison anti-Deutsch minority, but then like they are supportive of Ukraine, and they're just like, oh, if it was because Russia fucked us, that this is a sacrifice I'm willing to make, I think they'd be like less angry because of that. The other thing that I would think is the other issue is that we saw from like the reactions from like mostly like Latin America, Africa, that their attitudes towards Ukraine and Russia is like, not my monkeys, not my circus. is a real just kind of like we're not taking a position on this.
No, but I think that that's I think that that's it. Rather no. I think that that's rather, at least for Latin America, I think that that's mere a fair assumption, right? Brazil is pretty much like, "Ooh, all right, you know, I want to be a mediator in talks." Venezuela has been very supportive of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Cuba as well, too. I mean, Venezuela probably less so now under their, you know, whatever fake government that they have in place now. Mm. But support for Russia on the African continent is like overwhelming. You know, like it's not like it is, especially in the sense of the former like ECOWAS nations that then have all had like these, you know, anti-colonial, you know, pushes of late, extreme support for Russia. And this is something that then is quite common throughout the African continent. Not in North Africa, because these are all like, you know, pro-NATO like puppet states like Egypt and like Libya and such like that. But the further south you get into the country, over like just like flying the Russian flag, like support of Russia. And I think that there is, I mean, this is something of like, I again, back to the thing of like, I think it's both. I think it's very much the sense of it is the Israel thing. And it is the sense that that then... the European mind doesn't want to accept that then that the global South not only doesn't support them, but is like actively going closer to Russia and China.
Oh yeah, definitely China. Yeah, it's a good point. The ECOWAS countries are definitely like got a lot of goodwill towards Russia. I think something the Al Jazeera article gets into more that actually highlights, but doesn't actually explore enough. Is more that the Israel stuff is not so much about picking a side in the Israel, like Israel's genocide, but more just like Germany is now flouting procedure. Basically, like there's this situation of like, okay, the International Criminal Court is going after Israel and a handful of countries are trying to protect that, which is like, yeah, we always knew as cynics and like people who know how like the global system works, that was probably going to happen. The International Criminal Court is only for Serbians and Africans or whatever. But like, I think there's this whole thing of like, well, hang on, you're breaking rules at this point. You are like, you're kind of selectively choosing when these rules apply quite egregiously. It doesn't necessarily matter what my opinion of Israel is, because Israel is also like, through trade and shit, is also quite popular with like world leaders, not necessarily the people of the world, but still. But is, I think there's that thing of just like, yeah, you're just kind of getting in the way of due process. And that's kind of like, we don't like that world you're creating. Iran is also cited as one of the reasons as well. Germany, or like the people talking about this situation, not by the Germans themselves, but just like, yeah, the Iran situation is also cited by some of the people commenting on this. Not sure how related that is, though. Yeah. People are getting pissed off at oil prices. So, like,
yeah. I just think it's funny whenever I see my boy down, that boy being Germany. Like, I love seeing Germany just like thrown on the ground and just constantly kicked. Like, and it's always, yeah,
especially
it's
if they're gonna be posting through it.
Oh yeah, my god, they should. No one in the Matz administration should have social media, because they all are divorced dads, you know, like, yeah, whether they be actually divorced or spiritually divorced, like all, like they're in the most divorcee party, you know. Yeah. Like, I don't know what, like, don't fucking give me the statistics of, oh, actually the FDP has more divorces. They probably do, you're right. But just
actually, I'm listening, I'm subscribing to your newsletter.
Yeah. The energy of whenever I see anything that the CDU does is just like, oh, like, you are, yeah, you go on, Kieran.
I think it's particularly when they try to be like, I think it's particularly their handling of social media.
Yeah, it's when they try to be like approachable and cool and they're not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a similar vibe of like, guy who was actually very settled in a marriage, got into a routine, suddenly like has to
started
be like,
posting.
Oh, I have to have game again now. Oh, how do I have game? Black and white reel with a Rocky quote. Is that what it is?
Yeah, ladies love that. She'll come back, bro. Yeah, and it's the thing too of that it's so it's that hilarious uncanny valley of that. Then it's like you can't tell if it's like serious or not, but you know that then coming from this party that they're like, this is epic, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
If it was a, like, you could have done the exact same video, just like posted slight, like as like if we had posted that video, perfect. Like,
yeah,
copy and paste the exact same like, thing, it would have worked coming from our account. Think, but that's the official account of the fucking Alice administration.
That's the thing, though. They just saw like what's trending, which is shit posting, and it is things like that, but like in a sarcastic and like funny way. And then they were like, oh, perfect. That's what the kids are looking at on social media. And they took that seriously, and they did it.
The like, kids love motivational quotes from Sylvester Stallone.
They all know who Sylvester Stallone is. I agree. The other thing that I have noticed is they haven't realized a strategy that I feel like lots of other political parties do, or political operators. Like I feel like the Democrats do this as well. Of like, you don't make these things from official communications.
Exactly.
You get someone else, like independent, like a member of the youth party, but not posting as the youth party, and then you retweet it or you share it. You don't like.
Sorry, I just thought of the worst thing ever. All right, happy Pride, everyone. All right.
Oh no.
Okay. The CDU is gonna like start. They're gonna try to turn. I hope this doesn't happen, but this is just in my mind palace. All right, CDU youth wing is gonna turn. What's her name? Who's the president of the Bundestag?
Julia something?
Yeah, Julia Klöckner, thank you. Okay, my German wine queen. They're gonna be like, she's cunt, she's mother, she ate and gave us no crumbs. They're gonna start doing that, and I would love that.
I don't think
gay is in anymore.
No, but that's the thing, is that they just don't. Gay's not in, of course not. We're all homophobic again, it's fine.
I mean, like,
but like,
posting something that's not on trend is also, I feel like, very CDU.
Yeah, it's like, this is like 2 years old, right? And then it'll just be like a bunch, like Junge Union being like, oh my god, mother. And it's fucking Julia Klöckner.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, you know what? You know what? I think that we should do that. All right, here. Us go full circle. We're going to like cunt post Julia Klöckner into being a queer icon, one of the most homophobic women in Germany.
She's a hateful, hateful woman.
She'd hate it, though. She'd hate being a gay icon.
Can we set up an Instagram account that looks like we're the Junge Union and just...
And
no,
cuntify...
No, they're gonna sue the fuck out of you.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, they would absolutely... Yeah, because Germany doesn't know what satire is. So they'd be like, oh, this is fucking libel. You know, you called Julia Klöckner a cunt.
Yeah, that's a
you have to be like, no, your honor,
no, your honor, she serves cunt.
Yeah, or just like pretend it's all translation errors. Like, sorry, your honor, I was trying to say,
yeah,
is cunt, but I ended up typing
Mutter
is a cunt. Oh, God.
Sie hat keine Krümmel hinterlassen.
Oh, God.
I'll stop.
We gotta.
Happy Pride. We're not actually homochromio or whatever it is.
Chromio, the Quebec funk band.
No, it's like, oh, she has hetero.
Thank you. Heterochromia.
Yeah, but I don't know why I'm laughing so much.
Because I've been too stupid this episode. I'm so sorry. I'm apologizing to the class. I'll go to the principal's office.
Yeah, we decided to have.
I'm
going to
check myself into detention.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, God. Yeah. All right, so the last few minutes of the podcast, we're gonna get very serious and possibly talk about Henry Nowak.
Oh Jesus, no, you can't say that when I've just been crying laughing.
What else? Okay, maybe we can save it for the bonus, and I'll try to find another topic real quick.
No, I can talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, Jesus, what a whiplash. Henry Nowak, he is a kid. really. He was like 18, 19. That was killed in Southampton in England, like last December. It was already like a few months ago, 2025, December 2025. Mm. He was killed by a Sikh. Is that how you pronounce it? Like S-I-K-H.
Yeah,
Sikh.
By a Sikh man with like, apparently, I didn't know that, because of their faith, they're allowed to carry this like ceremonial blade kind of thing. So he was stabbed with that. And the police, it was all just like, it was a thing of like this man being like a really like insane person that just randomly like stabbed a kid. And then the police being really stupid, as they usually are, because this man stabbed Henry Novak. And then after a while, like the brother of this man called the police and made it seem like it had been like that Novak had racially abused this man, and that he had stabbed him in like self-defense. Turns out that's not true. I mean, obviously, with the state of England right now, it could have been very well true. But, you know, but the thing, the problem was basically that when the police showed up, he was still alive and he was saying, I've been stabbed. And literally the policeman just goes, the hell you were, and like just handcuffs him. And like basically he died because I don't think apparently they could have, you know, he would have died anyway. But that was just like, you know, he was handcuffed as he was dying, which is horrible. But then this happened in December. There was not really much uproar of, you know, this usual far right people. And then this week, last week, the murder was, there was a trial and the guy was sentenced to like 15 years. Which is like, you know, a lot. And then suddenly all of these right, far right, you know, fascists woke up and were like, whoa, whoa, wait, we can make money out of this and we can capitalize out of this kid's murder. Ugh. Even though the parents were, I mean, they're just mainly upset, obviously upset at the murderer, but they're upset at the police, at the way that it was handled, right? The fact that their kid didn't get any help. And they made a speech, and I was scared that they would also use it as a
lean into the racial animus. And
exactly. Yeah. But they actually did the opposite. They did a speech after the sentencing and were like, please don't use this. Like, don't use our son's murder as an excuse to be racist, you know, and to like be against immigrants and like to be far right, basically. And all these people, obviously, they didn't care, they didn't listen, and there was some protest in front of the Southampton like police station, because they're kind of, because apparently Sikh people are very like I don't know, for some reason the far right in England is very sympathetic to Sikh people because they're basically,
they've been
like
in the UK for a super long time. Like,
yeah, and they're basically like the guys that helped England in India, you know, like,
it's
there's a sizable portion that fought in World War II and stuff like that.
In World
that.
War One as well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
there's also this, unlike the United States, where, like, I think it was a really common occurrence in, like, 2000, like, post 9/11, as we were saying earlier, changed everything. Where like people were attacking, Americans were attacking Sikhs because just they're like, they don't really know
because
who
they're
or
brown
what.
And wear a turban. Or
yeah, like, they don't really know who or what they are. And like conflate them with Muslims. That occurs a little less in the UK, where they actually do, and thus like there is this far right thing of like, well, the targets are Muslims, so we're going to exempt such and such people from this. That doesn't always work, because then there's also just a lot of like anti-generalized South Asian racism in the UK as well.
Yeah, but it's been really interesting to see how Tommy Robinson and all of these guys are basically being like, no, guys, the Sikh are fine. And that's not the problem here. And they've turned it into this thing that they love to say, this term, two-tier policing.
Yeah.
Like, that the police is just always against the working class man. But like, in brackets, in a far right way.
Working class means white and yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Against them. Against people that are also far right, right? Like, yeah. Tommy Robinson's always like, oh, I'm always being persecuted for... Yeah. It's like, yeah, for hatred, for inciting a hatred. That's a thing in the law, you know? Like, you can get in trouble for that. So they're really using the fact that the police really fucked up and showed no empathy to this kid as like a way of being like, see, it's because he was white. It's because he was white, because they didn't do anything to the Sikh man because he's brown, but it's fine. We're not gonna, this is not about them. It's about the police. So yeah, they've been protesting like in the Southampton police station. Obviously, usual suspects, like you just see the videos and it's just like, bro, my God, Jesus Christ. There was a guy with like a twirly mustache, literally like
arrest him, officer.
just from the way.
What do you think this is? 2012.
Literally, oh my God! Yeah, but
as a precaution, we've arrested everyone from Mumford and Sons.
isn't one of the guys from Mumford and Sons like a massive like MAGA guy?
They kicked him out.
Oh, damn it. Mumford and Sons is woke now. God damn it.
Woke has compromised Mumford and Sons.
Woke has compromised the shittiest bands that you're aware of.
One of the Sun has fallen.
yeah, no. So that's being happening again. Yeah. But also it's just like, as I said, you just watch the video and you just know, my God, it's the same people that went like 2 years ago. There were those riots, like the white supremacists just being like, protect the women and girls, kick the immigrants out. But then literally last, like 2 weeks ago, The Guardian had this article that was 1 in 5 people arrested over 2024 riots have since been reported for domestic abuse. Wow. Yeah.
That's still
what
like
a surprise.
Yeah, it reminds me of a forever evergreen moment of one of the friends of the show, Milo, when he went on to, I forget which British show that was, like where he went on to like one of these like BBC fucking politics shows. And the woman on there who was like a right winger just like made up a number about like, you know, pedophilia or something like that, and just Milo called her out being like, oh, so we can just like pull numbers out of our ass then and just say whatever we want. And it is what they do, right? And it is the sense of it's very funny of, because it happened, like it is very much the people that I'm the most skeptical of when they are in the room talking about what about the women and children, this and that and that, these things that then it's like pedophilia already is illegal. Like, you know, and if you are being really loud about this, I'm questioning you because, oh, whoopsie, 2-3 years later comes out that you're fucking involved in like child sex trafficking or whatever like that. Like all those people in the US, you know.
Yeah, I think that like the domestic violence one was always very telling because a similar thing happens with like a lot of the like far right leaders in Ireland are like media influencers so much as that, like the ones with Telegram groups, like they're not, I don't want to say like too huge a media influence, but also like, you know, they have some and that's a problem. They're all very like, because again, Ireland's too small for you to run this shit. It's like, yeah, locally known as like the wife left with the kids in the middle of the night kind of situation, like had to like get out of there kind of thing. And that's, I think that's always been like the kind of thing behind, you know, protect the women and children from refugees stuff, is it's not protection, it's possession. It's more like, that's what I get to do. And like, and because that's what I do, I'm assuming that's what the other men around me want to do.
Exactly. Yes. You've created a character that I've talked about on the show 2 years ago of the local Italian rapist who votes for Lega Nord.
Yeah. It's a sure be a thing.
But I mean, even when the
well, John 6 people as well. Sorry, they're all like that too, right? Like, people are like, just immediately arrested, and they were just like, "Yeah, my phone's filled with pedophilia, officer." Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, when the riots were happening in 2024, literally people were already finding the police records of these people, like just from pictures of the crowds. You know, they were just running them through databases, and it was like, oh yeah, this guy has 4 convictions. This guy has been reported, da da da. And I'm sure the same would happen with the people at Southampton. But then it's been really like, I feel really bad for this kid's family because they were specifically trying to not have this happen. And then I've seen like there's a vigil for some reason in fucking Paris for him. Like, it's by far right, like a far right organization.
It's like happening now.
I've seen also the far right organization in like a youth wing of Vox in Spain putting posters up of this kid's face, and also with like White Lives Matter thing. So he's truly becoming, it's like the far right guy that died or was killed in France. But like that was a few months ago or something like that. But it didn't make it so big. But this is truly going international. It's really scary because, well, scary, sad because of this kid's family. It was literally like, please don't do this. Like, we just want justice for him.
Yeah, that far right, Well, actually, no. Wasn't the guy in France like a far right activist? Who was
He was. He was a Nazi. Yeah, he was. And he was a Nazi that got what he, you know, was looking for, because he went hunting and he got hunted. Like,
This is Trump said something about it. Like, one of the overly online people in his cabinet whispered something in his ear about that.
Probably.
But yeah, you're right. That kind of just like some blue check accounts on Twitter got into it, and then
Elon Musk as well, obviously. Yeah. Obviously, because he has to fucking give his opinion about everything. Also said something about the Henry Novak thing, and Starmer had to be like, can you please shut up? And also Lamy also had to say something. Musk, if I had one wish, it's pretty good.
I mean, it is also like, it does remind me of like all this complicated dance that you have to do when you're on the right with the police in particular. I see it mostly in the UK, less in the United States. I think the United States is won out with like cop worship of like that's the far right. There's no question. But like in the UK, they have this whole like, oh, like all this terrible crime that brown people are committing is happening because the cops don't want to be called racist. But we're also getting the American influence where we have to kind of worship them and not...
Yeah, you can't do the like old school neo-Nazi thing of like also being ACAB, you know?
Yeah.
Like you have to, like the cops are right wing, you gotta like, you know.
Yeah. And, be nice.
Like
and
they go to your gym. they're your bros.
And the same time, like one of the things that I've noticed here in Ireland in particular that I find super interesting is then they get used as this like wedge with the far right, though, that I find super interesting. Like, so I don't think we've talked about it in the podcast, but Yves Sakila is a Congolese man who was killed recently in Ireland
by security guards as well, not even like police.
Yes, by security guards, by a security guard company that's in charge of like the kind of like refugee internment centers that we have here called Direct Provision. Like, it's all deeply concerning. And it's really bad. And it's bringing up this question about racism in Ireland, because like a week prior to this, Bertie Ahern, the former Taoiseach, was like caught in candid recording saying like, oh, we can't let in all the Congolese people. And it's like, when the man got the like ethnicity right in one. And it's also like, I heard our friends over in Celtic Ligers point this out very correctly, of just like, why is he obsessed with Congolese people? The like black minority in Ireland is Nigerian. Like, where did Congo come from?
Specific.
Yeah, it's so weird. But like, yeah, lo and behold, this happened. Security guards killed him. But then Irish media running interference for like, by being like, they're not far right, but by being conservative, by being like center right or whatever, just like, tonight on Virgin Media, we're talking about, are the Gardaí racist? Call in. It was like, but it was security guards.
Yeah.
Why are you immediately going to the polarizing question of, yeah. Well, first of all, yes, they are. But why are you immediately going to...
Yeah, they're not the topic right now.
But they know what they're doing by making it the topic.
Yeah. Like, I feel that the difference of the US within the right is that then the police are like holier than thou. Like they are, you, like the police are always on your side. They're the defenders.
They're a janissary class almost.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Place. And so the dislike that the US has is to then like the state apparatus of the like judicial, right? Like it's like the federal, like the FBI they don't like and stuff like that. And I think that the US having a very distinct like difference in these versions of law enforcement allows to then create the like holy class that is the police, right? Like, Ireland doesn't really have a differentiation as extreme as the U.S. is. Most of Europe,
the UK and Ireland aren't federations. So yeah, exactly. Just kind of like a police service. That works.
But I mean, like even in Germany too, where a country that then is very decentralized, there's not really this development in the right of the sense of like how it is in the, oh, you know, like the federal or like judicial branch of things are the real enemy. The cops are fine. You know, it's like there is this kind of, I mean, I don't know. I'm not, you know, too in depth on the, you know.
No, it's a good point. It allows the far right in the States to kind of like have their cake and eat it too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like,
whereas Tommy Robinson has to like do both with the one institution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like in Spain it's kind of a mix of both. So it's like the far right and the police. It's not that they see the police as like thank you for your service kind of thing, like holier than thou, like members of society. They're literally friends. They're just like that's their buddy. Like that is their far right buddy that is in the police. And they go to the same gyms and it is a thing that they get recruited in gyms as well. But so it's a bit more, it's like they respect them, but because they know that they share the same values and morals, if they have any. And it's really interesting that once in a blue moon, there will be clashes at like a far right gathering. But well, not even far-right gathering, because they will do, like, Nazi shit, and they will be left alone. It's going to be like, oh, yeah, there's going to be, like, four policemen for, like, 200 people, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, let them do their Nazi salute, even though it's not legal, whatever. Let them do, of course, yeah. But then the only time that there's clashes, it's when they're trying to destroy, like a private property, like for example the HQ of PSOE. There's whenever they gather in front and they get heated, they try to go in. That's when the police is like, okay, guys, please let's just calm down. And then there's clashes with the police, and then there's literal videos of like far right people being so surprised that the police is actually doing what they're supposed to be doing this whole time, you know? And they're like, why are we, oh my God, we're getting attacked by the police. It's like, well, yeah, you're trying to break into, like, you're a mob trying to break into a place. This is how the police treats the normal people.
Yeah.
And worse, like, they treat us worse, you know? And then they get, like, and there's one day of them being like, fuck the police, what the fuck, that's crazy. And then they go back to just being besties again, like, kiss and make up, and it's fine.
Yeah. What was that, like, I feel like it was, like, a couple of years ago. You were on the podcast. There was some sort of riot in Spain somewhere.
In front of the PSOE.
Was that the one? Because I remember like the one kind of like vox pop like man on the street kind of guy who got arrested by the police, and he was just looked like a confused dog the entire time.
That's the one. In front of the PSOE. That's literally the only time that they've been like, you know, shaken a little bit. And then they're like, whoa, what the fuck? What's going on? You know, because they're so used to the police just putting down a red carpet for them.
Yeah. And for listeners at home to really hammer home how obvious this dynamic is, I picked up on that even though I didn't understand what anyone was saying in the video. It's like, it's all on the face.
It's the shock. Like, it's the clear shock of this guy. Confusion, like, betrayal. Wait, well, that's the word, exactly. Betrayal. He's heartbroken. He's like, what? But that's my...
Not my best friend, the police.
My buddy. That's my buddy, you know?
Oh, yeah. God damn it. All right.
This was a roller coaster of emotions.
This was an emotional roller coaster. And I originally wanted to title this episode, would she JMIF until I Kennedy or whatever it was? whatever that line was. But I don't think we can now.
Yeah,
bonus
yeah.
episode, we'll call it that line.
I don't know what it was. She F on my... Oh, she F on my John till I...
She blow, F on my John till I blow Kennedy or whatever.
Blow like Kennedy, yeah, that's it.
Blow like Kennedy. That's so good.
It is, yeah.
So good. Anyway, with that, nothing to plug. Oh, except t-shirts. We sell t-shirts. Go find the t-shirts and buy
we
them.
We do?
They're
you have a t-shirt on. Yeah.
I'm wearing one of the one of them right now.
I mean, obviously you have a t-shirt. No, actually everyone all of us at Corner Speedy, we record topless.
This is why we'll never become a video podcast.
Yeah.
But with that, we will catch you on the bonus episode. Ciao ciao.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.